Hallelujah! Christ is risen!
The Lord is risen indeed! Hallelujah!
Just want to make sure you're still awake. We cry that out every Easter. And as we have to remember that Easter is the beginning, not the end. Just as Christmas is the beginning of the season, not the end. I know people get so annoyed that we don't sing Christmas carols until Christmas, and then they're all done with it, and we're just like, no, we're just starting. And Easter's the same. We're just starting into the Easter season, the proclamation of Jesus' resurrection and his presence in our life. But what does it mean to have faith? What does it mean to believe this declaration to be true? Have we truly met the resurrected Christ in our daily lives? Or do we like to just kind of leave him back in the first century and think, you know, that was a great thing that happened way back then? What does it look like to be able to declare Jesus as our Lord and our God, risen and alive today? Now, many of us, understandably, have doubts, and I'm certainly not immune to them myself. I know I haven't touched Jesus. I haven't physically seen him with my eyes. And there are times when we believe to a point, but then we kind of question, is he really alive right now? And how can we prove it? How can we have proof positive that our declaration each Easter is true? How can we have assurance that the Lord is risen indeed and that it's more than just a pipe dream? Unfortunately, then, sometimes when we actually do get proof, we still doubt. And then we feel guilty because we're not being the good Christians that we're supposed to be. And then we just cycle around again. There was a movie in the late 1990s called Contact with Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey. Jodie Foster was an astronomer who needed empirical proof for anything, to believe in anything. She was a scientist, and if there was no way to prove it, then it didn't exist. Matthew McConaughey's character was a minister. As he said, I'm a man of the cloth without the cloth. And they got into this debate about faith and the existence of God. And she basically said that until she could have empirical proof, there was no way that she could ever believe in the existence of a deity. And so he turns to her and says, well, did you love your father? Now, for those of you who've seen the movie, you know from the beginning that her father was the world to her. And when he was gone, she was devastated. She turns and tears in her eyes and goes, you know I loved my father. He says, well then, prove it. There's no way to empirically prove one's love for another person. I mean, you can see the effects of love. You can notice the actions that people take out of love. You can experience love from another or even experience the love you have for another person. But love itself, as an emotion, cannot be empirically proven. You either love or you don't. But later on in the movie, she supposedly goes to the center of the universe and meets this alien race and comes back, but yet there is no empirical evidence that it ever happened. And so she's brought before this panel and they declare for her to prove that it happened. And she says, I can't. And so they say, well, if you can't prove it, then why don't you retract your testimony and just say it didn't happen? And she comments saying, because I can't. I had an experience. I can't prove it. I can't even explain it. But everything that I know as a human being, everything that I am, tells me it was real. She found faith. Because that's what faith is about. We can see the effects of God in our life. We can be met by the resurrected Jesus through other people. In worship services. In various experiences that we have. And yet we will either believe or not. There is no way to prove faith. Now in society we're often told that seeing is believing, right? And from our gospel readings it seems that that's the case for the disciples. And yet I find it interesting that John ends this section with the verses saying that these things have been written down so you'll come to believe. Not so you would see proof that Jesus existed, but that when you read or you hear these words, that's when you'll meet the risen Christ and hopefully have life in His name. So why is it that it seems at times we're almost afraid to believe? Look at the disciples. They certainly didn't believe the women's words, did they? When they came back from the tomb. Thomas didn't believe the other disciples. And in fact, after they're told, the Lord is alive, we've seen Him, what do? They stay behind locked doors. Why didn't they go out and look for Jesus? Weren't they curious to see if it was true or not? I mean, for those of you that know, I mean, I adore my dog, and if you know, Buddy got loose and got lost, and you know, maybe a week or two later someone said, I've seen Buddy, he's down over by the park. Guess where I'd be in about 30 seconds? I'd be down at the park. I mean, heaven forbid, as a parent, if your child got lost and someone said, hey, I think I've seen them at the mall. Where would you be? You'd be at the mall. Why aren't they out looking for Jesus? I mean, even if the disciples didn't truly believe that the stories were true, why weren't they checking it out? What was it that they were afraid of? One pastor says that perhaps they actually were afraid they'd find Jesus. If they went out and looked for Him, they might actually just run into Him. And as we noticed from the last meeting that they all had with Jesus, they didn't really act very well, did they? What did they do? They all took off. The last time they were with Jesus, they deserted Him. Peter denied Him. They had hightailed it out there, and they were more concerned to protect their own skin, and they were willing to leave Jesus to His fate, so to speak. And so now, if He's actually alive and back, it's almost that they're afraid they're going to have to give an account for their unfaithfulness. If it's really true, they're going to have to explain where they were when Jesus needed Him the most. Henry Emerson Fosdick, who was a prominent Protestant minister in the early 20th century, compared fear and faith. And he put it this way. He said, fear imprisons, faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear disheartens, faith encourages. Fear sickens, faith heals. Fear makes us useless, faith makes us serviceable. Fear puts hopelessness at the heart of life, while faith rejoices in its God. Which do we allow to rule our lives? Faith or fear? And what is it that causes us almost to fear faith? Do we fear perhaps that it's not true, that there really is no hope? Or do we fear that it is true and then we have to give kind of an account? That we have to kind of own up to the way we're living and what we're doing? and perhaps make changes in our lives. It's easy to recite the words, yet act like Jesus is just a historical figure. And if we leave Jesus in the past, then we don't really have to wrestle with his presence here in the present, do we? We don't have to think about how he truly might desire us to live right now, and then we can act and be whoever we want to be without fear of consequences or the future. And yet, just as he did to those frightened disciples all those years ago, he enters into the room alive and well and greets us with the reality of his existence. Even as John reiterates in his book of Revelation, he was, he is, and he will be. And whether we want him to be or not, Jesus is right now. Will we have faith, or will we fear it? Will we have faith and receive the life he desires us to have? What I love, though, about especially this account of Jesus' resurrection, what does Jesus do when he shows up? How does he treat the disciples? It's interesting, he doesn't ever condemn them, does he? He doesn't berate them for their actions on Maundy Thursday or Good Friday. He doesn't even reassure them that they're forgiven, that he's forgiven them for their betrayal and their inaction. He shows up, greets them as friends, and gives them a gift and sends them out. And even Thomas isn't berated for not believing the other disciples. He's not even berated for not being there the first time. Again, Jesus shows up and greets as a dear friend. And then he offers Thomas what he needs to believe. One commentator states that the good news in this story is that our risen Lord comes to us wherever we are, however we are, and brings us what we need to believe, never condemning us for our doubts, but meeting us in them. Are we willing to allow Jesus to meet us right where we are? To meet us in our doubts and in our uncertainty, but also to meet us in our faith? Will we allow the words of the gospel, allow the words of the church, the words of the communion table to truly sink in, so that John's desire for his gospel would come true, so that we may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, we may have life in his name. See, that's the ultimate point of this Easter season, that we all may truly declare and believe the Easter proclamation. Hallelujah! Christ is risen!
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah!
Amen.